Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would like to consider again with you the words of Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, the first reading for today. John reports, "Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water.'" This is God's word. Please be seated. So, first day of school after a summer break at the parochial Catholic school, and a priest was walking around in the hallways of the school just getting to know the kids, and there was a group of preschoolers on their way to the lunchroom that were passing by, and one of those boys, about a three-year-old or so, stopped and looked at the priest, looked up at him and said, "Hey, you're a priest, aren't you? How come do you wear that Band-Aid on your neck?" And at first, the priest was a little confused by that, but then he realized that to the boy, that collar with this white plastic tab in there must have looked to him like a Band-Aid. So the priest bent down and he pulled that white tab out of his collar and he handed it to the boy to show him. And on the back of that tab were these little raised letters that indicate the manufacturer. And the little boy was looking at them and feeling the letters, and the priest asked him, "Do you know what those letters say?" Of course, knowing that a three-year-old can't read yet. But the boy said, "Yep, I know what it says." And looking intently at those letters, he said, "Kills ticks and fleas up to 6 months." When you think of what it is that makes a Catholic, we often think of those external kinds of things that we typically associate with Catholicism, like the clergy collar and the rosary beads and Gothic churches and statues of Mary and holy water and incense and Gregorian chants and, of course, priestly celibacy, which is always a fun one for us Lutherans. I remember walking around once in a Lila hospital, a Catholic hospital up in Battle Creek. I was wearing my collar that day and holding my wife's hand, and you should have seen the heads turning. But these kinds of external things really have nothing to do with Catholicism, not in the fuller understanding of that word. Because the word Catholic comes from a Greek word, katholikos, that literally means universal. The true Catholic or universal church has to be a church that takes in all Christians universally, which is something that the Roman Catholic Church does not do. There is only one church that encompasses all Christians across all denominational lines, and that is the one holy Christian church, the Church of Jesus Christ, his one body of which he is the head, his one little flock of which he is the shepherd. The one holy Christian church is not an earthly organization, but a spiritual kingdom. Jesus once said, "You cannot say, 'Look, the kingdom is over there,' or 'It's over there.'" He said, "The kingdom is in you. It is inside of you." Because that which makes you a member of the kingdom of God, the church of Christ, is faith in Jesus Christ. And everyone, but everyone who calls upon Christ for salvation and who trusts his atoning death for their forgiveness belongs to this church. And that's why it's truly Catholic and universal. So the Roman Catholic Church may claim to be Catholic, but in truth, there is only one church that is truly Catholic and universal, truly universal. And it's not the LCMS, it's not the Roman Catholic Church or any other denomination. It is the one church of Jesus Christ. That one church that encompasses everybody who believes in their Lord and Savior. But there is another aspect of the Catholicity of the church that I want to talk about. The church that is truly Catholic must above all else possess and proclaim the Catholic message that Christ has given to the church to be preached to people of every tribe and nation and tongue around the globe. And what is this message? It is the message of verse 6, the eternal gospel, he says, to be proclaimed to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. It is not the Pope that makes the Church Catholic, or any other church ceremony, or any claim to supremacy. What makes a church a Catholic church, a universal church, is this eternal gospel. The gospel which is believed by every Christian of every time and place. A Christian, by definition, is a person who believes this eternal gospel. So it is the gospel that is at the core of the teaching of any church that would rightly claim to be a part of the Catholic Church, the universal church. And so it's in that regard that I say, we are even more Catholic than the Catholics. Now, I'll be clear about this. There are, of course, true, genuine Christians in the Catholic Church. Because the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, does have elements that are shared by the universal church. It has the ministry, it has the preaching of God's Word, the reading of God's Word, and the sacrament. But along with that, it also has elements that are not shared by the Catholic Church. They are not shared by the universal church because they are things that tend to obscure the gospel. So, for example, the Roman Catholic Church teaches and believes that they can draw, or that the saints mediate their prayers. But that obscures Christ, who alone mediates between God and man, the scripture says. The Roman Catholic Church believes that they can draw upon the merits of the saints for their own salvation, like a huge treasure chest of merits in the heavens, and you can draw on that for your own merit and credit. But that obscures Jesus Christ, whose merits alone are sufficient for us. The Catholic Church still teaches purgatory, a place of cleansing by fire for those, as their catechism says, who are imperfectly purified. I guess Christ didn't get the job done. It obscures Christ, who said from the cross, "It is finished," and who completed all suffering for the guilt of sin. The Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, believes that popes and church traditions and the teaching authority of the church have equal authority with the scriptures, which obscures Christ, who alone has all authority in heaven and on earth. But worst of all, I suppose, is that the Roman Catholic Church still anathematizes, still condemns, the teaching that we are saved by the grace of God alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ. I'll read to you canon number 9 from the Roman Catholic Council of Trent. This still stands to this day. It says, if anyone says that the ungodly is justified by faith alone in such a way that he understands that nothing else is required which cooperation toward obtaining the grace of justification, let him be anathema. Let him be condemned. You see, according to the Roman Catholic Church, faith in Christ is not enough to completely justify you. You must cooperate with God. You must work with him. You must do something in addition to what he did in order to be truly justified. And this, perhaps more than anything, obscures Christ, of whom the Bible says we are saved by grace through faith and not of works. And so as the church that still clings to these gospel-obscuring doctrines, the Roman Catholic Church still has many elements that are not shared by all Christians universally. We are more Catholic than the Catholics, I say, because a church that is truly Catholic is Catholic only when it's proclaiming the message that is given to all Christians, the everlasting, eternal gospel of Jesus Christ. And everything else that the Catholic Church shares universally bears witness to this gospel. The office of the ministry is about proclaiming Christ. The sacraments are about Christ. The liturgy is about Christ. The singing is about Christ. The reading is about Christ. All of it upholds and proclaims and is centered on that eternal gospel. And that's what makes the Lutheran Church a Catholic Church. So, is it the point of this day then to puff up with pride and to crow about how Catholic we are over and against the Roman Catholic Church? No. No, Paul says there is no place for pride in our lives. But as in the days of Luther, there is a constant need for the reformation of the Church. Because people are continually returning to that old Roman Catholic way of thinking, even if you're not Roman Catholic. And by that I mean to say, it seems that our old flesh, that sinful nature, is just not content with Christ's expensively purchased but freely given forgiveness. We always want to add our merits into the equation. We always want to cooperate with God in our salvation. And so the old nature wants to go back to that religion that says salvation is by Christ's sacrifice plus my good works, plus my deeds of mercy. It is his sacrifice plus my decision to follow Christ, or plus my prayers and my worship life and my participation in the sacraments. Instead of seeing the Christian life as the fruit of our salvation, we always want to make it the cause of our salvation. So the Church must be constantly on guard against this lie of the devil and constantly reforming herself. She, the Church, must continually move back to that which makes her Catholic, back to the eternal gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the Church is not so much about innovation, about bringing forth new and different things. It's about reformation. It is about reforming people's lives by the eternal gospel of our Lord Jesus. Because when we have the gospel, we have everything that Martin Luther was so desperately looking for. We have everything that the Roman Catholic Church of his day lacked, and everything that it still lacks in our day. We have everything that every Christian ever needed, because with this gospel we have the forgiveness of our sins, and we have life and salvation with Christ. And in him we are joined with every other believer of every denomination, of every time and place, built as living stones into that one true Catholic universal Church of Jesus Christ. Oh, and by the way, you know how many Catholics it takes to change a light bulb? None. They always use candles. And that's another thing we associate with Roman Catholicism. I'll tell you a Lutheran one a little later on. But we associate candles with Catholicism, but I hope that when you hear the word Catholic, the first thing that pops into your mind is that which truly makes the Church Catholic and universal: the eternal gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.